Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, and I keep saying interim host because one of these days Ewan will be able to join us again and bring back his eloquent and classy hosting style. And until then, well, you're stuck with me, and even though I've been doing this for a while. I don't think I'm doing this in the same way that Steve Jobs took on the interim part of his title when he came back to Apple, because, you know, eventually he dropped the pretense and said, I'm CEO. But I think Ewan will be back. He's just like crazy busy right now. So Ewan, we miss you and excuse me. And we're looking forward to seeing you again. Also, I just want to do a shout out to everyone that watches and listens to shows on the British Tech Network, because all of you are absolutely awesome, because you're the reason why the Daily News Show is still happening. So thank you for stepping up and getting the money coming in so that the show didn't end in September. And you're awesome. And I love every one of you for it. So thank you. Okay, so holy crap, seriously? Sometimes my Mac is so annoying. And when I say my Mac, I mean Mac OS. So, you know, all right, well, we didn't even get on the rails today. Here we go.
No.
All right. So I've got a real problem with Mac OS. It's been going on for a very long time. You know how you have the window you're looking at? And that is your focus. And mm-hmm. then something else happens on your Mac and steals the focus.
Yeah. Yep.
What the hell? How can this still be a thing? And how is this acceptable? How many people inside Apple's campus are actually using their own operating system? Because if they were, at some point, someone with a corner office and a nice view would be saying, what the hell, make this stop. And yet here we are, Mac OS Monterey is about to come out, and we are looking at literal decades of Mac OS 10 evolution, and this is still a thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're almost at 12 now, so if left
10, it's gonna be 12
behind. Yeah. So we've even left 10 behind and we still have that. It's super annoying. I mean, I have apps that just pop up and just get to the background, to the foreground, and like you have to switch back from them like all the time. Like I have that when I run tests, like certain UI tests that open up a Chrome browser. It basically switches you to every second or two, it switches you back to the Chrome. So you can't do anything while that is running. Stuff like that is super annoying.
It's super annoying. Or let's say you've opened a menu in something mm-hmm. where you have to drill through submenus because there's mm-hmm. no keyboard shortcut for the thing that you're using, and you get almost, your cursor is almost on the menu choice you need, and you're ready to click, boom, it's gone, and there's a stupid dialogue up in front of your face.
Yay.
So
Jeff, yeah. with the camera thing, not trying to give anybody a pass, but isn't that more a function of the camera, the camera mechanism itself or the sensor, and not the OS? That, you know, because I'm using a DSLR, and if I move wrong, it'll change focus.
So I don't know. Answer to your question, Chuck, is yeah, that's a camera function. However, that's not the focus that I'm talking about. But that's a nut. We can derail me already derailing us by saying that there's enough horsepower in a Mac that as you're moving around, it should be able to figure out what the focus needs to be for the camera and mm-hmm. And maintain that for you. But the focus I'm talking about is when you're in a specific app and
no focus,
and then something else in the system takes over and becomes the focus instead.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Window focus.
Yeah, window so focus.
So Jeff is double focused this morning.
Or double unfocused,
depending on. I am. And so every year I'll be on a podcast ahead of WWDC where we're asked what features we want to see in the next version of macOS. And I'm pretty sure every year I'm saying there's only one feature that I want to see this year. Everything else is just icing on the cake. That feature is macOS stops taking focus away from whatever I'm currently doing. And every year, Apple lets me down on that. Anyhow, okay. Well, now pretend like we're hopping back on the rails. And here's our first story for the day. Happy birthday, Siri.
No intros?
Oh, yeah. Hey, everyone.
Off the rails.
It turns out I'm not the only person here today. Much to my surprise, as I look around the room, there are other people here. And I want to know, how did you get in here? And why are you pushing me off my soapbox? All right. How about if I take another sip of tea and pretend like I have any level of control over what's happening today?
Hey, we're here to support you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamage, your interim host, and you and Rankin will be back sometime, possibly in the next couple of minutes, as he looks at what's going on and says, what the hell? I have to stop this. Anyhow, we have an awesome panel here today. Do you like how I covered? We have an awesome panel here today, and thank God they're all here, because apparently someone needs to train and rope me in today so that I can actually do what I'm supposed to on the show. Callum, how are you doing?
I'm very good. A good week at IMM Max. Very busy. Happy to be here as always, and looking forward to the rest of the show, however it may come.
I'm looking forward to it as well. I am clearly just along for the ride today. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. I'm good. But, you know, we were talking about Steve being the iCEO for a long time. I think you should be designated the NP host of ETM.
The NP host?
The NP host.
The
No Pants host.
Oh, I was going to go not performing. No, okay, the No Pants host. All right.
No Pants.
I'm the No Pants host. Yeah. And if you'd like, I could show you whether or not I have pants on today. I will warn you, there's a possibility that we may have to change the rating for this episode.
This is like Schrodinger's pants.
Schrodinger's pants. Patrice, write that one down. We might have a show title. Okay, I will continue to sit so that you don't know, so that they truly do remain Schrodinger's pants. And this is how I keep the mystery in our relationship.
Thank God.
And right now, Callum's thinking, I am so glad there was a revolution and the colonies broke away.
I'm just so glad there's a different meaning to pants in different countries.
Trousers.
All right. So bringing some quality to the show today, Patrice, how are you?
I'm not sure about that. I'm doing good. I've had this week off and I have next week off. So I'm relaxing, getting not too much done, working on stuff that I really don't have to work on, but I want to work on. It's fun. Like fixing things. Good a week. Awesome. I have done exactly nothing today. I did go on a walk and I cleaned the kitchen. That was about it. So
awesome. And it just occurred to me, excuse me, that because of the way you have decorated your studio, that I can really piss off a substantial portion of the WordPress community and the gaming community at once by saying, oh my God, I love your WordPress Pikachu. Okay. And now the WordPress fans are like, that's it. I'm out. Done with the show. Dave, how are you doing?
I am doing great, Jeff. Having fun here. Good boy. You just, you're all going all over the place here, but it's been a busy week. Glad to be here. Glad it's Friday. And look forward to talking about stuff here. If we can get to it.
I'm looking forward to seeing just how this show plays out. Yeah, it's much like many aspects of my life. I am along for the ride.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. Me too. So I said first story or whatever I said, and then realized that I hadn't properly started the show because I decided to rant. Okay. So now back to that part. Happy birthday, Siri. We're 10 years into the S Ladies. What's a good way to say it? I don't want to say intrusion into our life, but it's been 10 years since the S Lady came into our life. And so here we are. And we should probably start a support group. Oh, Mueller says Reign of Terror.
I don't agree, Mueller. You know, Siri has lasted longer than a lot of my relationships and has been a lot better for me than a lot of my relationships.
I am so glad I didn't have my tea in hand.
That would have been a spit.
Surprise. I mean, thanks, Mueller. Thanks.
If you really think about it, I mean, she did. I mean, whether you're using Siri or not, whether you like Siri or not, she did change our lives because all the others, like what is it, Microsoft Cortana, Alexa, whatever Google thing is called,
a Google Home.
Yeah, all of them basically came after, and basically, I mean, she wasn't the first assistant like that, the first like anything really, like, but she was the first that like that was available, accessible, and somewhat work. Useful. Let's put it this way. Yeah. Useful. Yes. Useful. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To a point, I mean, and people, I mean, there are a lot of gripes and a lot of issues, and like, it's definitely not perfect, but like, no matter what you think about it or think about her or him, depending on your country, really. She did change. She did change our lives. I mean, which home today? I mean, there are probably a lot of homes still, but like, which, let's say, home in our space does not have some kind of like voice assistant?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have an iPhone, you have a voice assistant. Mm-hmm. If you have a Mac, you have a voice assistant.
It's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of third party, like whatever, your smart thermostat might have one.
Right. Yep. The sound bar for my television has the A-Lady built in. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, fridges, I don't know. It's like they're everywhere, like all of them, like the entire family of assistants.
Yep. And each one has its fans, mm-hmm, and people that don't like it. And yep. I'm looking in the chat room right now. Bob Beach says Siri works pretty well for me these days.
Yeah, same.
Cortana, much better.
Mueller says Cortana is much better.
That's where it's gone.
Siri's best. Google is okay. Siri still lags. And Cortana, how about if I go really nice on Cortana and say Cortana had potential?
That's saying
that's like nicely. That's like when like in whatever in elementary school someone says, oh yeah like she has potential. It just means like you're basically slacking off and not doing much. You're like
But anyhow, that little bit of conversation in the chat room really shows how very nicely how people perceive the different voice assistant platforms. And my feeling is that of the three that we have left, what's in Muller's tea today?
It's Muller, it's Callum.
Callum's three grabbing his
head. Right there we have floating body parts choking him.
I'm watching the zombie blender behind Callum. I'm watching the chat room where there's Muller, and I feel like the writers for
I've just read the chat reality
have just finally said, you know what, we give up, just do this.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Well, anyhow. I could say with Siri, the two things that always stood out to me to ask her was, open the pod bay doors, and then what's zero divided by zero, so I can hear about Cookie Monster and how he's able to divide zero divided by zero of his cookies. So,
yeah, and I think that's one of the key ingredients is that like none of the previous incarnations have. There were technical solutions for, let's say, voice control or like dictation before, but none of them had a personality. And I think that's something that Apple introduced, like having a voice that was human like, at least close to it, at least. You can argue how good it was, but compared to today, probably not that good, but it was like for the time pretty good. But also had like the way she answered, or he said, depending on the country, the way they answered, and the way like funny things like that were introduced. Like Apple didn't have to do that. Apple didn't have to put in jokes and you could ask how much would Chuck and so on, and she would have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't some of that go the whole way back to the Knowledge Navigator? You know that the Knowledge Navigator had obviously an assistant, the assistant had a personality, I think that was sort of somewhere in the vision when Siri was created, or you know, as it was developed, that you know this is not just going to be, you know, talking to a machine, but it's going to be talking to an entity, you know, male, female, something, but an entity of some kind, so that you could feel that connection with it, he, she, it, they, whatever.
Them, yeah.
Them, okay.
Yeah.
Them.
They, them works perfectly for this, yep.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah. Yep. That. But that was also something interesting, I mean, since we talk about that Apple did not decide on a single voice or a single personality, really, or a single gender even. They very purposefully chose differences, and nowadays even different options, like you can change it, which is something that Amazon did like at first, like to be fair, like they had different voices and different names and all of that.
Right. Yeah. That's true. It's interesting that the A lady gave us different voices first. But it was surprisingly limited, and is still surprisingly limited to this day.
Yeah, and it was more of a joke, to be honest. It felt like more of a joke.
Yeah, it was more of a joke. The change was a couple months ago when they added a male sounding voice, and that's it. So those are your options.
Well, now you can't. It can't be set to default. It was set to default to a female voice. Now, when you first set up your device, you have a choice of which voice you want to use. So they changed there. It's more so diversity inclusion that thing that's been, you know, quite prevalent in the world. Anyway, that's fine. That gives people an option to choose what they want, and not just okay. Mm-hmm. We assume that's why we are always calling her the S lady, because that's always been a female voice. Yeah. But it should be any voice that you so choose. Yeah. And then there's a good choice in there too.
And that shows our, let's say, US centricity, because in the UK it's always been a male voice.
Right.
And these days Apple doesn't even say male or female. It's voice one and voice two.
Voice one, voice two, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can still identify it, like it's
Well, you know, I actually like that they switched it to listing as voice one, voice two, mm-hmm. instead of male, female. And not because, or not specifically because I feel like it's more inclusive, but mm-hmm. because I know a lot of people and have known a lot of people over the years that have voices that don't conform with with society expectations of gender.
Yeah, and, I mean, voices have ranges, and I mean, right. gender has ranges, and voices have ranges. And it's, I mean, there are a couple of very notable like actresses that have very, very deep, almost male voices. And so, like, you can't just say, well, like a female voice is that and a male voice is that. That's just not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and it gives, I think, going away from the binary gives Apple also, it gives people more options. Like they can go somewhere in between. They can have, like, for the future at least, whatever they want. You can have, I don't know, Cookie Monster if you want to.
Right.
Like, no.
Like, and to the best of my knowledge, Cookie Monster is gender neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, I have never seen anything that truly indicates whether Cookie Monster falls into either of the stereotypical binary genders.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, I mean, I'm not expecting Apple to do that, but they could. Let's put it this way. They have more options now.
All right, how about Big Bird?
Oh.
Big Bird's gender would be neutral funny. To me as well.
Yeah, would be funny too.
Cookie Monster's funnier.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and since Apple has a deal with them, it's like, I mean, as I said, I'm not expecting Apple to do it, but they could. Like, they would have the possibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to toss out a thing that bothers me about the S Lady. Mm-hmm. And it's not probably what you're expecting, because there are many things that bother me about all the different voice assistants, and some of them are consistent across all of them. The thing that bothers me is that the S Lady came out early in comparison to the other voice assistants we have today, and was revolutionary and had a strong lead in the space. Yes. And I feel that in some ways, Apple let that lead go. Mm-hmm. And then we have Google and Amazon with their voice assistants going past what Apple's doing in some areas. And now we have, as to the best of my knowledge, the A Lady is the dominant voice control platform right
yeah,
now.
But not for that reason. I mean, let's be fair.
Okay, that is
I mean, true. Yes, I fully agree. Apple did have Siri linger for a long time, both on the purely, let's say, technical side, like Siri as a voice assistant, as someone that can recognize what you're saying, but also on the integration and the like how they used them. But the reason Alexa or the A Lady, how you call it, is more like more prevalent these days is simply because Amazon gave them away. Like, I mean, any, what is it? I think you could give, like, if you were lucky, you could get like an A device for like $15 or something on a deal.
Google mm-hmm. was doing it too, though. I mean, you know, I've got, because I'm crazy, I have all three platforms in my house. I don't use mm-hmm. probably Google as dominant as the A Lady is here. You know, I got an Echo in my bathroom, so to listen to the music in the morning. But it just seems with all three platforms that they have some of their strengths and they some of their weaknesses. Yeah. And yes. it really varies.
If you count all the iOS devices, the lead is different because, as you said, like every Mac, every iPhone has that. So I think in that case, Google would probably win because there are simply more Android devices than anything else. But on the speaker market, and that's I think how most people perceive that market. Apple. I mean, look at the HomePod. Like Apple released a really awesome, probably overpriced, like, or at least not overpriced for what it was, but overpriced for what the market wanted device, and then didn't do anything. I mean, to this day, it's one of my biggest complaints. Apple did not do anything with the HomePod in its lifetime so far. Even the Mini is fairly limited. So
that's true. The Mini is just the appropriately priced HomePod for the market.
Yeah, it does have some new and extra and exciting features, like also some stuff that's now coming. But that's like, however, 3 years? How long was HomePod around? 3 years? 2018, I think, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so about, let's say, 3 to 4 years. Too late. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think as well, that they were very late to having a standalone on it, because Siri was around for, you know, seven years before it got something that you could say is built for Siri. It's always been a supplement to an iPhone, an iPad, or a Mac, or whatever. And also, I think, you know, as you were saying, the price point as well, up until the HomePod Minis come out, they've never really had an accessible price point to have four or five in a home, which you can do with an Amazon product or a Google product.
I mean, so that didn't stop people like me. I have 3 HomePods, and
no, I know. But if you're not seriously into it, and you've got a couple of £100 to spend or whatever, you're not. Apple's not even an option for you. But
yeah, I mean, you could get 2 to 3 HomePod Minis for the price of 1 HomePod, and it mostly does the same job.
Right.
Mostly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, totally. I mean, that's definitely a good point.
Every time this discussion comes up, though, I feel obligated to point out that the HomePod was the HomePod, not the Mini, was a superior speaker.
Oh, absolutely! I love it. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad speaker. I'm just saying it wasn't what the market wanted. It wasn't what even Siri needed. Like, if you want to get Siri in as many places as possible, the HomePod wasn't it.
And I'm not sure whose fault that was, because we all became kind of accustomed to, unless you were really paying attention, we became accustomed to substandard audio. I mean, you know, yes, I have Amazon devices in my home, and not one of them holds a candle to the iPod, the HomePod Mini, let alone a full-size HomePod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think you're right, Patrice. I don't think the market was ready for it or appreciated it the way it should have. Because if you go back and look at this at similar high-end smart speakers of that size and caliber, the HomePod was right in there pitching with the price.
Yeah. I think they try to compete with the wrong on the wrong market. They try to compete with Sonos and other manufacturers like that on like really high end, really nice speakers, and forgot about the Siri market, which was honestly more interesting and should be more interesting. I mean, we don't know if the HomePod Mini wasn't the plan all along, and they just like it took a while to release it. But it, as I said, for Siri, it was definitely the wrong device. And I think it set, to some extent, I think it set Apple back. Because the people saw Siri in a really expensive device and said, well, it's not what I want. It's too much. Like, so I'm going to go with something else.
Yeah. The original HomePod is for the market. It is a luxury device.
Mm-hmm.
And what people needed to get widespread S-Lady-based smart speaker adoption was the HomePod Mini initially. You know, especially since when you look at the competition, you can get an Echo device Patrice, like you said, just watch the mm-hmm. deals. You can get an Echo Dot for $15. I've never paid full price for an Echo Dot. And I have several, actually.
I mean, Amazon is basically giving them away. Like, it's not free, but it's so close to free that you know that they're losing some money on them. But they know why they're doing it.
Right. And even if you pay full price for an Echo Dot, you're still paying under $50.
But I want to point out something that I've noticed is happening recently with my Amazon devices. It's more and more pushing me to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. Siri has never pushed me to buy anything. Yeah. And that's how Amazon makes money. Well, sure. But I have to wonder, you know, just like advertisers,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk has a quote that I love that advertisers ruin everything. Because they're never satisfied with 10% of your attention. They always want 15. If they got 15, they want 20. Got 20, they want 25. You know, you just pretty soon it's like, yeah, we just want you paying attention to only what we want you to see. Mm-hmm. And I sincerely hope that the Amazon devices are not going in that direction, because they are useful. I have mm-hmm. them. I use them. They are functional. Sometimes they're better than the S-Lady. Sometimes they're not. But at the end of the day, they work well.
Yeah,
but they're slowly starting to be ruined.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, that is inherent in the A devices. That, like, I mean, Apple is selling the HomePods for us to have a really good speaker and have Siri everywhere. Amazon is selling the A devices to sell you more stuff. And you see that in how they're marketed and how they're priced.
Yep. Both devices are designed to keep you in the company's ecosystem.
Absolutely.
But the approach and the intended outcome is different mm-hmm. in both cases. For Apple, they just want us to continue using Apple products and Apple services. For Amazon, they want us buying things.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, It's simply a fundamental difference in the businesses of Apple and Amazon. Apple is in the hardware business. Apple is in the business of having physical devices and in people's hands, and those people wanting to buy them, whatever the next one is. Amazon is in the business of selling you goods, whatever it is. They don't care what it is, but they're selling you goods. That's the big difference.
So how many people here have an Amazon device?
Sure, I have multiple Amazon devices.
Yep.
I used to, but I'm happy that I don't.
Okay. How many people have ever said, hey, or, you know, whatever you have yours named, add this to my shopping cart or buy this? Have you ever done that?
Nope.
Yes. Tried it. Don't like it.
I do.
You, Jeff?
But I know Ewan, for example, has it regularly. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know how your Echo will flash its ring yellow to let you know you have a message, and mm-hmm. I'll ask it to read the message, and it'll say, you know, it's based on your buying habits, it's or something like that. You're probably due to reorder whatever it is. Do you want me to add that
more to your toilet cart? Paper,
detergent,
and I would say probably about 80% of the time, at least 3/4 of the time, it's right. And mm-hmm. and I will say, yes, put that in my shopping cart. Mm-hmm. And it's surprisingly good for that, but it makes sense because they have my buying history. And simply because of the way the market is around me and the way mm-hmm. and the way stores stock things, while I would love to shop local for so much of what I need, I can't because the stores just won't carry the stuff that mm-hmm. I need to get. So
same.
I order off Amazon you know, multiple times a week, and it's just the routine stuff that I would otherwise be going to a store for. Mm-hmm. So they know what I buy, they know how often I buy it, and they know when to send me the message, hey, do you want to reorder this because of the way that my shopping habits are. And And a majority of the time, they're right. And so I'll add it to my cart. Every now and then, I will ask the A-lady what the deals of the day are, because you get special deals, sometimes crazy cheap things that you can get only by asking an Echo device. I use my Echo for shopping a lot.
Let's face it too, that the fact that Amazon and Google both are in the business to make money on all these analytics, knowing about what our shopping habits are, knowing what we're doing. Well, that's why Amazon can afford to give away these devices, because even though they're losing money by doing that, they're not, because they're gaining it from all this analytics that they're getting from what our habits are.
Jeff, I think that's really interesting, and that's fine. And the answer for you is obviously yes, that you are comfortable with Amazon having that information about you. And, you know, does it really matter that you like, you know, Dove soap over, you know, something else? I don't care, you know, but at some point, you know, we all talk about how they're profiling us. They, with a capital T, they are profiling us. And that's something that I think people start to fail to remember, that the convenience versus the profiling thing when they're using something like those devices. And again, maybe it doesn't matter to you, and that's fine. I'm not even sure it really matters to me. I just don't do it.
Okay. So I want to make sure we talk about something else today. But before we do that, I totally want to address that, because that's a really good point. So Amazon is absolutely profiling me, and they have built probably an amazingly detailed profile dossier about who I am, to the point that I would be probably uncomfortable if they said, so this is who Jeff Gamet is, and they just started rattling off stuff about me and about my personality, and it'd probably be really creepy. The psychological difference for me between Amazon creating that profile and Google creating the profile is the end goal. For Amazon, the end goal is to make me buy more stuff from Amazon. The end goal from Google is to sell me as something that can be marketed to. It's in some ways a subtle difference, but in other ways, it's a very dramatic difference. And the idea that there's this company that just wants me to buy more of what they sell versus there's this company that wants to sell me to advertisers, that's creepy to me.
Yeah. I apologize for harping on that, because it seems like anytime these discussions come up, that's the thing. But I do think it's important for folks to understand that if you're talking to the S lady, you're pretty much talking only to the S lady. If you're talking to any of the other devices, somebody on the other end is maybe not listening, but compiling information on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, also with the S lady, it depends.
Because
if you use the S lady to like talk to another app, then that app might collect that information.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's it. They're degrees here. But I think that the S lady is as secure as you're going to get if you want a voice assistant.
Yep, I'd have to agree. Yep.
And I have to say the chat room has just completely gone out of its mind. It officially jumped the shark at 11:41:53, at least in my stamp, with Mueller's comment about Cookie Monster.
I have to scroll back. And
scroll back. It's worth it. Yeah.
Why did I scroll back? Why did I do that?
Don't do that.
I should have known better than to do that. And yet I did it anyhow.
Yeah.
That's sort of like when you say, wow, this smells really bad. Here, smell it. And then you smell it.
That's right.
Or, and this we all tastes smell awful. It. Taste it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to switch topics so that we can at least say that we talked about more than just the S lady today. And so I actually had seen this piece from MacTech about CarPlay. So, Dave, first off, shout out to you for always throwing your show notes from In Touch with iOS at me every Friday, because it's no secret. My alarm goes off. I get out of bed. I comb my hair. I make tea. I sit down and start the show. And then I start the research for articles. So thank you for having done the research for me. But this one I had seen and forgotten about. Apple wants CarPlay to be able to control your car. So they have bigger plans for CarPlay than just being like a big interface in your dashboard for your iPhone.
Yeah.
Not that surprising, to be honest, because they already have some integrations. Like I don't own a car, so I use like rental cars here and there when I need them. And every time I do, like, I'm surprised that like CarPlay is able to show stuff in the car's like dashboard and stuff. Like navigation, for example, like it shows you the directions. And so, yeah, I mean, makes sense.
Well, to me, I think this is smart, because I'm relatively new having CarPlay in my car. My car's 7 months. I've had it 7 months, so I think it's good enough time that I can assess what I've been experiencing. The fact of the matter is, it's a separate interface, and then that's what makes it difficult for any consumer who's using their devices. I have a Dodge product, Fiat Chrysler, so they're using UConnect. UConnect is god awful horrible. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just the interface. I had a previous car before that didn't have CarPlay, and I was at the mercy of UConnect, and it's not great. So for the fact of the matter, having somebody like Apple designing the full interface, be able to access your air conditioning, your and the heat and the speedometer, and any of the other settings that any of the interfaces, not just us, mm-hmm. who I work with, is awesome, because of the fact that, I would rather be in that interface. I think Apple does a much better job of it, and it's going to be much more efficient, because, but let's face it too, you know, some people who want to get aftermarket radios, you lose that functionality, because I had considered it in my old car, and I said, I don't want to do this, because then I'm going to lose all of that functionality, being able to access all the primary systems to access other than manual buttons that they give you. So who knows, that could extend that market too. But I think really their focus is going to be working with the car manufacturers to have this interface in place, and they be the dominant force, and not having all these others. Because you go to Ford, you go to GM, you go to, you know, to Toyota, you go to any car manufacturer, it's all different.
Yeah. I mean, while I don't think that's going to happen, be only CarPlay or whatever, I think where Apple is coming from, which I mean, totally makes sense, is what Tesla, for example, is doing already. A lot of voice, I mean, honestly, a lot of others are doing, but it's crap, is voice control. Like controlling your audio settings or your temperature settings with Siri, like since we just talked about Siri, or asking Siri for certain information. Like it just makes sense to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think as well, if you look at the way that car interfaces are going, you know, you mentioned Tesla, and I know a lot of high-end cars that I'm seeing, they're coming out with, you know, I think they call them virtual dashboards or something like that, where it's essentially one big slab of glass. And if you can plug your iPhone in and integrate your iPhone with that, having all of your heating settings, your air conditioning, your cruise control, you know, et cetera, and all that stuff in there as well, and it's all neatly integrated into your CarPlay, I think it's a great idea. I think it's an absolute winner.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, I would say, at least from what I've heard and what I've seen, there are about two, maybe three really well-made systems like that. One is the one from Tesla. I mean, people still miss CarPlay, I've heard, and I would probably too. But overall, people are mostly happy with their software. Like, there's still complaints, but like nothing major. There's CarPlay and there's Android Auto. And all the others, and there are a lot of them, all of the others are crap, and people hate them. So, like, I think it's time to standardize on them and simply say, well, it's half. Great. Yeah, let's have like two, three options. And I mean, mostly it has standardized on, I said, with the exception of Tesla, it has standardized on CarPlay and Android Auto. And like most cars these days will have both. Mm-hmm. You just choose whatever you want. Like you plug in whatever device you want and you get one or the other.
I have a friend who has an SUV. I think it's a Ford product, but I'm not sure. But I'm bringing it up because the touchscreen interface for that not only controls all the audio entertainment like you would expect to in CarPlay, but also controls the AC system and all of those things. And it is a royal pain to operate because to turn the fan on and off, you have to go three levels deep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's amazing. So I guess my initial reaction to this is, yeah, great. Then I step back a little bit and say, okay, great, but the screens, you either have to get some bigger screens in these cars or more screens to keep everything available. Because to shift back and forth is, I mean, there's something to be said for analog controls on certain of certain things. Sure. Mm-hmm. And so I'm greeting this with mixed results, and that's kind of strange for me because I'm very much a CarPlay advocate. I want to see the interface, but I just sincerely hope that we have a situation developing here that the interface makes sense for what they're trying to control.
Yeah, I think it's getting there too, because Tesla is all touchscreen. There are no knobs and buttons, and in most cases,
they still have some.
And I think other car manufacturers are looking at doing that too. I mean, I've been in cars before where it's been pretty dominant of the touchscreen and not have much of any buttons to change things. But you're also taking a chance that if something were to fail with the screen, how do you adjust the very important functions of the car? That's what they got to think too.
Yeah, I think the trend that I'm seeing is, I mean, as I said, Tesla is probably too extreme. I mean, they've removed most buttons. People have even complained about like the buttons on the steering wheels that I still have are kind of touch buttons, but they kind of don't work properly. But most car manufacturers I'm seeing these days, I mean, they have massive screens, like sometimes multiple screens, but they still have some sort of touch interface, like for kind of physical buttons in a sense, but they're touch sensitive for the core functionalities. Like, I'm just thinking about, because I was driving it the other day, the BMW ID3 that has physical buttons for certain things, but they can switch functionality, stuff like that. So I think that's mostly the trend, like core functionality or most functionalities on a touchscreen, but you have the option to have a button for certain critical functions that you just don't want to fuss with.
I like that. And I think that this news story really shed some light on what Apple's big plans have been with cars. Mm-hmm. And while Apple could still have plans down the road to have their own physical car in some form, I think a lot of what they've been working on is this, where CarPlay becomes the interface for whatever car you're in.
Well, I don't think that's mutually exclusive. They could build this basically as their car operating system, integrating with other cars, but also their own.
Well, this wouldn't be the first time that Apple used other device makers to beta test their own stuff and then turn around and release their thing, which is better than what they were doing as a partnership.
Yeah, learn from the others, like iron out all the kinks, and then release your own thing that actually works.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And creating CarPlay, that's step one.
Mm-hmm.
Making CarPlay the core interface for your car, that's phase two. And then phase three is Apple's own car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could totally see Apple going. I mean, nowadays some cars have augmented reality like dashboard. And yes. I think that might be a very interesting next step for Apple to also integrate that, since they have all the AR capabilities already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be a really good place to add in AR. And you're right. It is no secret that Apple is really invested in the whole AR space. Yep. So then the next thing is, will I be able to get an aftermarket CarPlay head for my car? Of course I can get one today, and I have to get a special harness that hooks it up to all the right things in my Prius so that all the functions that I currently have are still available.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be just a new harness that hooks into some more wires along the way? And then it becomes the full interface. I mean, it would be weird because now I've got this thing way off to the side. Okay, I'm driving a Prius. It's kind of off to the side anyhow, but yeah. All right. Hey, this show and all the others is sponsored by TSO Hosts. And, or at least I assume after today, they'll still be sponsoring us because they have been so generous and so willing to continue sponsoring us even when we start a show by not even getting on the rails. No, but seriously, TSO Hosts is awesome because they're giving us the server space and the bandwidth that we need to be able to bring quality shows like this to you every single week. Without them, we would not have the bandwidth to stream shows to you. Without them, we would not have the server space to hold the shows so that you can go and watch or listen at your leisure. And seriously, we just would not be here. So thank you to TSO Hosts. Also, thank you, TSO Hosts, for very generously upgrading our servers recently. That was a really cool move. And that didn't cost us anything because they're just awesome like that. Also awesome, Patrice's efforts to seamlessly migrate us to the new servers. So thanks for that. And what they are asking of us is that we go to social media, give them a shout out, tell them that you appreciate that TSO Hosts is here supporting the British Tech Network. So go do that because it doesn't take much to make that happen. Just, you know, a minute on your favorite social media. So go do it. Also, if you need domains or you need hosting, they are here for all of you as well. Just use the discount code BTN20 to get a discount on your hosting or domains, and you're good to go. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being our sponsor. Also, thank you to IMN Max for being our sponsor. And they're the best place to take your Apple gear to get fixed. And they have such strict standards for quality control that if they have someone working on your Apple gear and they misdiagnose something or they fix something incorrectly, they will actually dismember that employee and throw their body parts across the office. And we have seen on multiple occasions those body parts flying behind Callum. And what that tells me is that Callum is clearly superior because every single week he shows up with all of his limbs.
You so, say that you haven't seen my legs, have you?
I have not.
Because they're actually in the other room. So.
Oh, well, but I bet they're beautiful legs. And that's why they're in the other room.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Boy.
Yeah. Anyhow, so. So, well, it's been great having IMN Max as a sponsor and we'll miss them. Seriously. If you have any Apple gear that needs to get fixed, what they do is find the thing that's wrong with it instead of just going, screw it, replace the logic board. And then they fix the thing that's wrong with it. And so what that means is that we have less waste going into landfills. And that's a good thing. Also, you get your stuff back. And it's your thing. And that's like really important. Say if you have a Mac, and you have software, maybe like Adobe software, that binds the license to the serial number in your logic board. It's a total pain in the ass to have to start over with getting everything re-registered when you get a new logic board. Why not just get your logic board back? Anyhow, this is the kind of stuff they do. And they're awesome. And Callum is great. And someday, we will have a video of Callum cracking open iPads for me and replacing batteries. And it will be a glorious day.
I mention it frequently, but I'm going to repeat it. I would not be streaming to you from this machine if it wasn't for Callum, because the Apple authorized repair shop here that I brought this machine to wanted to replace the logic board. And ultimately Callum figured out it was just the battery that was bad.
Oh.
So
a bit different, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't even check. They didn't even open the machine, I think. They just said, oh, logic board. Done. Mm-hmm. That's $800, €800, please.
You know, I have had multiple logic boards and multiple Macs replaced under AppleCare because that was Apple's solution. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if the logic board really was the problem. And well, in one case, I'm certain it wasn't because it didn't fix the problem. But still, you know, fix what's wrong. Don't just throw away entire logic boards. So yep. Mm-hmm. Callum, thank you for that. Do you have any devices for us this week?
So we've had a batch of MacBook Airs come in. So they're all up on the website. So if you head over to imnmacs.com, go over to our store on there. If you see anything you want before you buy it, let us know. We can apply a 5% discount for you as well to all of our BTNers out there. So, head over to imnmacs and have a look if there's anything you like. But we have just had some Airs in, so have a look.
Still awesome. Stuck with iMacs?
Yeah, and please buy some iMacs. Please.
Well, my suggestion recently was someone needs to go in and buy all of these extra iMacs that IMNMax has, and then install Marathon, which is now open source, on all of them, and do a LAN party.
Still nodding like I did last week.
Yep. And Callum, I'm assuming between now and then you did a Google search on LAN parties, so now you know how awesome that would be.
Yeah, but don't forget the what is it called? Damn it!
The local talk adapters.
Yeah, well, that and the terminators at the end of the BNC cables and all of that.
Oh my God! Yes,
BNC cables.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, those were good times.
Yeah. And you had to figure out, do I need the Terminator or don't I need the Terminator? Like, put it on, it doesn't work. Take it off. Oh, no, it works.
Yeah.
Hurting my brain.
Yeah.
Man, yes. Just putting it on the connector and turning it just to make sure it connects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you just put the Wi-Fi password in.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, we didn't even have Wi-Fi.
Well, way before his time, what we're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so Callum, I have a new thing for you to look up, which is, I'm sure it holds a very dear spot in all of our hearts. You need to look up the Farallon Local Talk connectors. Is it?
Googling it now.
Apple had a proprietary connector on Macs that was for networking. Mm-hmm. And so then you had to buy a dongle to connect to your Mac, and then it would have the right type of plug for whatever networking you wanted to do. And so the awesome one was from Farallon. And so they had this local talk connector, which was Apple's incredibly clever way of dynamically building networks just by stringing phone cords between computers.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically the internet before the internet. Like a lot of companies had their own version of like DARPANET and all of that, like all those local nets.
Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. And just to be able to plug a couple computers together, and then you would go to the chooser, because that was the place where you found everything on your computer. And then you'd see these other computers just show up.
Yeah. And it actually worked And compared to the Microsoft version that never worked. Like, I remember that. Also LAN parties. Like, you spent the first like 2 or 3 hours like getting everybody on the same network, and then there was still some machine. Like, one machine could see it and the other couldn't. Like, that was Microsoft.
But yeah, with LocalTalk, you just plug everything in, and that was it. There was suddenly a network running. It was amazing. It was glorious, Callum. Glorious.
I'm just thinking, just in 10 or 15 years, while Cal's looking, you know, think about how we're going to laugh about you know, the relative.
Do you remember when we had Siri?
Wi-Fi. What is that? Like, who needs that?
What do you mean you had to buy network switches?
Yeah,
that's insane.
And streaming video. I mean, what? We'll be doing holographic here soon, and then Jeff won't be able to hide.
We will have to change the rating on the show at that point, but it'll be so worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would watch it.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's a long-winded way of saying thank you, IMED Max, for being our sponsor.
We're still on the sponsor?
Yes, you were.
Wow. We're still on the sponsor. No rails on the show this week, people. No. None at all. Nope. But we will pretend for a brief moment that we're on the rails. Patrice, will you please tell people where they can find the chat?
Okay, sure. If you want to join this craziness live, then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to join us during the show, which is Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time and Fridays at 4 p.m. UK time. In case you're listening to this after the fact, like most of you are, I know, absolutely worth coming to the live shows, but like just in case you can't, you can still find all the links and what people talked about in the chat room. We have this awesome system that someone wrote that I'm still maintaining, where you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you can see all the chats for the last, I don't know how many years, a long time. But specifically for this show, you head over to, what is that today? The 8th of October, 2021. And then you will find all the links and just ignore anything Polar said. Like, just do that.
Yeah.
It's safer.
Mm-hmm. It's safer. Yes.
Yeah. Thank just filter it out.
Might be safer not to read Muller's comments.
Yeah, exactly. I said anything Muller, like just remove. I mean, maybe I should add that to the filter. I don't know. Like, maybe I should just filter it out.
Oh yeah, write a script for that, Patrice.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yeah. Okay, it is time for the cool thing. Callum, what do you have?
So my cool thing this week is Carbon Copy Clone, and now it's just had an update. So it's now onto Carbon Copy Cloner 6, and it's had some really neat additions to it. So I really like the new interface. It gives a lot more information, which is a big one for me. And then they have loads of other different options as well. So you can schedule backups, and there's more functionality within that as to when you can do it and how you back up and where you back up to. They're doing snapshots, smart updates, quick updates, and a thing that I really like, which is really, really neat, which I think will help me, you can actually pause backups. So rather than have to stop them and restart them, you can just say pause there and then resume it when you can. So that's a really neat feature as well. So it isn't in setup like most of the things that I put on here, but I think it's about £30 the last time I brought it. I've just looked.
Worth every penny.
Yeah, a brilliant piece of software. And if you own a Mac and you do regular backups, then you should be using Carbon Copy Cloner, as far as I'm concerned.
Carbon Copy Cloner is awesome. It's part of my my backup routine.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be lost without it here. It's such an important piece of software for us.
Awesome. Okay, Chuck, what do you have for us?
Okay, I want to try to cost you guys a little money and time. My pick is an app called MicSwap. This is an audio app that you run on your iPhone. It's obviously for recording, editing, you know, all that with audio, but this goes a whole lot farther. You can model different microphones within MicSwap and get some really kind of amazing results. They're not just talking about modeling cheap microphones. There are a bunch of Neumanns in there. There are a couple ribbon fatheads. There are a lot of things, the Shure SM58, which is a classic, but they will model those microphones. But then they take it a step farther. And if you get the pro version, you can model studios, certain studios that you could be recording in. And I interviewed these guys on Mac Voices. It really is amazing what they've done here. And one of my questions was, well, gee, how are you getting all this out of your iPhone mic? And so, well, you can, the mic on the iPhone is pretty good, but you can still also connect any external mic and therefore even improve the quality of the modeling. So this is a way to kill a lot of time and really have to do some interesting things with it. But it is everything it says it is. The only thing I cannot attest to the fact that, you know, this, what you get sounds exactly like, say, you know, a $7,000 Neumann microphone, but you definitely have a chance to play with some of this stuff. And then if you have the need, and if you're so inclined and working at that level, then you can go and find a studio that has these, go in and record what you want to record. So it is just flat out cool.
That's really cool. Yes. Well, yeah, I think you just cost me some money. So thanks, Chuck.
You're welcome, Jeff.
I know, it's only fair.
Yeah.
Do they offer an unlimited plan, or do you have to do a yearly plan?
Nope, no subscriptions. You can download and use a certain feature set free, and then if you want the rest, you buy it once, and that's it. You're done.
Okay.
Very
five cool. Bucks.
I just cost David money too. That's good.
Yeah.
My work here is done.
Yeah. Well done, Chuck. Okay, Patrice, what do you have?
So I'm going to cost you some more money. It's a book. It's a new book from Walter Isaacson called The Innovators. Uh-huh. And I should say it's by no means a full history of like the computer and like how everything went, because there are just too many people involved. And it's it's impossible like that to write that book. That would be like a multi book deal or something. But this takes you on a very specific journey from, I mean, really early, like Ada Lovelace and Babbage and so on, to Turing, Berners-Lee, like the Google guys, like Brin and Page and so on, through the history, basically, and all the interesting stories that are around that, like really from the early days, like trying to ask the question, who did even invent the first personal, the first computer as is. I mean, there are so many little inventions and so many little things that led to that. And then taking it from there and saying, okay, like now that we have something you could call a computer, that's a general purpose thing. Like how did we take it to today, basically? And what happened in between? And I said, it's not about like on the cover of the book, you see, like you see Steve Jobs, you see Turing, I think you see you see certain people that you would expect, but it's very little about that. Like there's no half of the book is about Steve Jobs. Like that's not how it is. Like there's like a small chapter about him and like what he did with Wozniak and like a little bit of the story around it. But there have been so many other books that's not very interesting. Like it's basically a mention. But there are so many other interesting stories, like about Second World War and like all the computers that sprung up to crack encrypted communication, for example, like computers in codes in these cases, because they weren't always like general purpose. They were sometimes like machines built for just code cracking. They couldn't do anything else. But out of that grew the computer. And I said, I listened to it in Audible and it was really, really good. It was I basically listened to it basically more or less straight. Like I think it's printed out around 2 days or something. Which is a lot because it's, I think, a 12-hour book. So it was basically listening all day. It is really good. I said, and if you know Isaac, you know, like he has his stuff down. Like he has written so many good books about so many interesting people. But this is, as I said, this is about all of them. And it's about, I mean, it starts out with Ada Lovelace, which a lot of people don't know about or don't remember. But she was very, very influential in the early times, like about like getting to that point. And a lot of the things we have today, we owe her. We owe to her because she had the ideas. Like, I mean, without any technical understanding or anything really, just she just envisioned things. And that took like took us a couple of years, a couple of like centuries almost to mm-hmm. get really implemented, but people did eventually get to that point. So yeah, it's just a really good book. It's about, I mean, it says how a group of hackers, geniuses, and geeks created the digital revolution. And it's that it takes you from the very beginning to said how Google, how Facebook, how all of those companies eventually evolved.
Awesome.
I want to put a plug in for that too. Patrice, that is an excellent book. I read it too. And it is, you've hit it exactly. It's a much higher level. Any of these stories mm-hmm. could be a complete book.
Yep.
But it gives you such a nice spread over history of some mm-hmm. of the key points and some of the key players. It is absolutely well worth the time if you have any interest in this kind of thing at all.
Yeah, I said, and then you can go in and read up on all of them. Like once you know the names and you know the basic stories, you can go in and just like get into details.
Awesome. And Edge is telling me on Amazon it's $15, but Walmart has it for $10.48.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! So there you go.
Or it's one credit on Audible.
Or one Audible credit. Yep.
So I got it.
Awesome. Cool. Okay, Dave, what do you have?
Well, I got a cool thing, but a cool tip that's in iOS 15 that I discovered. This is how you can change text size. I mean, we've always known how to do that before, but by adding the text size scroll bar in the control center. But now with iOS 15, you can actually change it within to individual apps within iOS 15. So make sure that you've added the text size adjustment in the control center. This article has the information there how to do that. But the cool thing is when you go and when you open up an app and then you go up to the control center, select the text size, it's going to give you a choice at the very bottom where text size comes up of do you want to do it for this individual app or you want to do it for all apps. Well, if you set it for individual app, you adjust the text size accordingly. So that app alone will have this the larger size and the other apps will not. And or if you want to do it for every app, you could do that. But at least now you have control. You didn't have that control before. You only had it all or nothing. So I thought this was really cool that you're able to make some changes. So some people like to have the text larger on some apps and smaller in the other apps. And great new feature that they've added in iOS 15.
That's really cool. Awesome. Okay. I Instapapered that so I can go play with it later.
Yep.
Okay. My pick is a TV series that I just recently discovered, and it's called Final Space. So this is an animated sci-fi series that it's done by some of the same people that are involved with Rick and Morty. And so it's definitely comedy, but it's also like really serious and at times really dark. And the premise of, and I've watched season one, excuse me. And I think there are three seasons now. The third season is underway. The premise in season one is you have this guy who's floating in space alone, and it's the last 10 minutes of his life. And it is a really, really cool show. And I'm looking forward to getting into season two. And it's on Adult Swim, but it's because that's also part of the whole HBO thing. You can watch at least the first two seasons on HBO Max. So if you already have a subscription, you're good. You're muted, Patrice.
I'm muted myself. Yeah. Internationally, it is actually on Netflix. Can I just check?
Oh, okay. Okay, nice. Cool.
So.
Yeah, it's I think it's an awesome series. And the cast, the voice actors, they're all awesome. And everything else that they've done, you know, it's all stuff that just shows that these are top quality voice actors. But anyhow, it's a great series. And yes, it's a comedy, but it has a lot of depth, and it is not afraid to get like really dark with stuff. Also, the villain in this series is voiced by David Tennant. So, you know, there's that too.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, Final Space. And somehow, without rails, we have come through an entire episode and managed to get to the end. And we're all still here and all still intact. Well, except for Callum, his legs are in the other room.
yes.
Yeah. So, Callum, where can people find you?
You can find me and my severed legs at imamax.com. You can find us on all the usual socials at imamax. I'm in the Slack room. I'm on Twitter also at O'Hara Callum. If you've got any questions, anything you want to ask, please feel free to reach out to us, and we're always happy to help. And thank you for another wonderful show as well, Jeff.
We're here to entertain you, Callum.
You do a great job of it.
Excellent. And Chuck, where can we find you?
Over at macvoices.com is where you can find everything we do. We have a lot of great discussions with a lot of interesting people. And we do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV with David and Jeff and sometimes Patrice sneaks in. I got to get Cal in there somehow. I got to get him up in the middle of the night to get in there. We'd love to have you join us. And on the socials, you can always follow everything as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks for another great show, Jeff, even if it was off the rails.
You know, I suppose we need a show that avoids the rails completely every now and then just to keep us on our toes. And I'm going to use that as an excuse. Yeah. So anyhow, Chuck, awesome to get to hang out with you yet again. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show on a Friday and also on the Big Show on Thursday with lovely Jeff. I was this week also on Mac Voices, and I'm in bar that I fall asleep. I will be next week as well. So that was really nice. All the links and just everything I'm doing, all the projects and whatever, you can head over to thepatrice.com and find that there. And my podcast is the Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to really interesting people about food-related memories and just everything that goes with that.
Awesome. And for those of you that aren't checking out Patrice's podcast, What's Wrong With You?
Exactly.
It's wonderful. It's just an awesome, good feeling show.
Yeah, and I'm looking for guests right now. I've been too busy really to edit and finish the last episode, but I'm really looking for guests. So if you want to be on, let me know.
Cool, awesome. All right, Dave, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. You also can find me here. You find me on Mac Voices Live, as Chuck mentioned, on Tuesday nights. YouTube channel is youtube.com/DaveG65. And I'm on Twitter at DaveG65. Nice and great show, Jeff. Well done.
Awesome. And as always, it's so great to get to hang out with you.
Me too.
All right, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am JGam at both places. YouTube.com/JGamut for my videos, and Tuesdays on Mac Voices most weeks. Thursday's the Big Show. Friday's the Mac Show. On a semi-regular basis, you can find me on In Touch with iOS on Thursday evenings. And I get around. I kind of show up on a lot of shows. So yeah, this has been awesome. Thank you to all of you for being such an awesome panel, and for tolerating me as I chose to disregard rails today. You're all absolutely awesome. Thanks to everyone that's part of the live show today, and for being in the chat room. And it's been great having all of you here. You rock. Thank you to everyone that watches or listens later on. You are all awesome, and we're happy that you're part of this too. I want to give all of you big hugs. Some of you more than others. And by that, I mean, those are the hugs that go on just a little bit too long. So you're a little awkward.
No, I'm never awkward.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, it's Callum, when we meet for the first time in person, I'm sure that that it will be an incident in a good way.
See, I
an incident of the international kind.
Yes,
I think I must be the only person on the planet that was hoping Joe Biden kept the travel ban in place.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Cal, you have never been hugged until you've been hugged by Jeff.
Yep.
Oh, Chuck, that's so sweet.
I'll test
it. If it is.
And this is how you derail the end of the show.
Yes. Well, is it really derailed if we weren't on the rails to begin with?
That's true. Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you to our sponsors, TSO Hosts and I'm Ed Max. Give TSO Hosts some love on social media so that they know we all appreciate what they're doing for us. And use the discount code BTN20 for your domain names and hosting. Thank you to Iman Max for sponsoring us as well. Don't forget to go check out their deals that they have going on. And if you need something fixed, Cal's your man. Also, thank you again to all of you, because you're the reason that the Daily News Show is still going on. So you are awesome, and we love you for that. And now it's time for everyone to go and kick back, because it's really the end of the week. So join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for Mac Voices Live. Is what show are we doing? What show is this? Yeah. Is this your show?
If you just keep going, Jeff, we can turn it into to my show.
It's true. Yeah.
Welcome to Mac Voices Live. I am Chuck Joyner Underpants, and away we go.
I mean, Chuck, you said you wanted me on your show. You've done it finally.
It's true.
Callum, welcome to Mac Voices Live. It's great that you're here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we've been hoping you'd join us for so long, and this is absolutely awesome. Anyhow, literally, what show are we doing right now? The Mac Show. All right. Thanks for joining us for the show that I don't even know what we're doing right now. You're awesome. Everyone have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you next week.